One request, even to both candidates, if you would please try to stay on topic for us.
Okay. Mr. Kennedy, given our country's vulnerability in cyberspace and the growth of digital attacks against our infrastructure overseas.
Stop. I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying. I don't know if it's your mic, but I'm having trouble understanding your words.
Okay. Let's start again. Mr. Kennedy, given our country's vulnerability in cyberspace and the growth of digital attacks against our infrastructure overseas, how do you propose addressing the nation's cybersecurity, and what agency or service should head up that effort?
Well, the Internet changes so fast. It's been a great boon. The young people now have grown up with it and don't know anything but that. We do need to make sure that we keep net neutrality, keep the Internet open, but we also need to make sure that our national security secrets are not being taken advantage of and that corporations' patent information is not being robbed by other countries. So we need to make sure we have agreements with those countries and help them enforce those laws in their country as well. So I think that it's... I don't know which agency that would be, but I believe that that would come under the Department of Commerce, I would guess, as far as regulating that that international relations about how to make sure that other countries follow the same rules that we expect them to that they expect us to play by. And I believe the Internet is an ever-changing venue, and we need to make sure it doesn't hurt us, but it's open for... So it can keep growing and be a part of our future.
I think many Americans still believe that we are fighting people, the terrorists, who want to do us harm, who are living in caves and maybe aren't too sophisticated and too smart. But we have the smartest, most creative enemy we have ever faced in the history of this country. And it is taking everything that we've got to stay ahead of them just a little bit. I've been in several meetings where I have talked with cybersecurity people and people who know about this, and they tell us that the minute that they are right behind us every minute, and that it is taking just about everything we've got to stay ahead of them. And it is going to be difficult. This is not just something for one agency. This is having to be done throughout the federal government, and it will continue to have to be done throughout the federal government. This is the place where we need our best and brightest people to be able to do this, because our enemies have the brightest people doing it. They're not the best, but they're bright, and they are doing everything they can to crack our codes everywhere. They can.
And national security agencies, of course, have a big part to play in this, and our education system, to make sure that we stay on the cutting edge and stay a step ahead of those countries, too. And I think that once back gets back to education and government priorities as well.
Thank you. Lonnie?
A final question on defense. Perhaps relates as a good follow-on to what was just said. America is in the last year of a full decade of having our military deployed and fighting in Afghanistan, in the last months of a drawdown in Iraq. Is continuing these missions the best use of our all-volunteer military, which relies heavily on our National Guard and Reserve Forces?
I don't understand exactly what you're asking. Is being overseas in those places, should we be doing that? Is that what
is
you're
that
saying?
The best use of the
is that the best use of our military? I was not in Congress when the decision was made to go to Iraq and to go to Afghanistan. I believe that we have to take the battle to the enemy and not allow the enemy to come here. From 2001 to 2000, through President Bush's administration, we had no attacks in this country. Under the present administration, we've had several attempted attacks in this country, people who got through the system.
Please, let's allow the candidates to answer the questions, folks.
What I think we have to do is go to where the enemy is. And I think that we've had great success. We've had some failures. We have a problem with some of our allies in those countries. And I think, certainly I appreciate the fact that our all-volunteer force is probably the strongest force we've ever had. We do have our best and brightest serving. And we do have our National Guard helping us and reserves. But that's what they sign up for when they sign up for it. And most of them want to do what they are doing. And they know they are performing a vital service to this country by being there and protecting us. I don't want to be at war. Nobody wants to be at war. I don't know anybody in this country that wants to be at war. If I could make the world a peaceful place today, I would do it. But again, the federal government's role is national security. If we don't have national security, if we're not secure, none of this other stuff we're talking about matters.
I do agree. Nobody wants to be at war, and national security is the most important thing. But the way we need to do that is to lead by example. We need to lead by the rule of law, and we need to strengthen democracies overseas. We need to show not be supporting corrupt dictatorships and putting our troops in harm ways in countries that where the dictators and the corruption level is at a level that we wouldn't tolerate here. We've got the best armed forces in the world, and we need to make sure that they're taken care of as well. I'm worried about the shift to private contractors and paying private people to do business to do our fight our wars for us at three or four times the cost of what it costs for an American soldier. So we need to make sure and take care of our soldiers. We've got the best army in the world, and I do believe that we need to lead by example. And in Afghanistan, one of the Greg Mortensen's got a book, Three Cups of Tea, and Education. He started 300 schools there. It's required reading for the top military commanders there. That's the kind of program we can do that will help us have more security in the long term rather than less.
Next question will come from Mr. Adams.
Given the world's, for Mr. Kennedy, sorry, given the world's dwindling fossil fuel reserves,
as talk into the microphone, we can't hear you.
Thank you.
Well, I can.
Given the world's dwindling fossil fuel reserves, as evidenced by the recent BP deepwater drilling catastrophe in the Gulf of Mexico and concerns over global climate change, can you outline some alternative energy initiatives you support?
Sure. This is something that's near and dear to my heart. I do sustainable farming on my farm. I protect the water. I live in a solar house, passive and active, that I built 12 years ago. I was lucky enough to be able to do that, and I think we should make those programs available to everybody, regardless of income, in this country. We'll reduce our environmental footprint while maintaining our standard of living. Sustainable development and appropriate technology is the future. It's not only the future, it's the economic engine that can get us out of this recession as well. ASU's got a great program in that. They're developing alternative fuels, wind, solar. We can't leave any of those behind. China's creating 100,000 jobs every year in alternative energy, and we need to be leading the world in that. We need to make sure that those programs are developed, those resources and information is developed here in the United States, and then we need to make sure the tax incentives are in place so that those jobs, those companies will have an incentive to keep those jobs right here in the United States. This is critical, And it's the way we can leave this world better for our children. That's one thing I'm worried about is I've got three kids, and I want to make sure that this world is better for them. I do organic farming, and I've got a slab that I feed my cows on, and I collect their manure and turn it into compost. But I'm concerned about the amount of manure that's being piled on the people of the 5th District by not having this a priority. We need to make sure those programs are in place and the tax incentives are encouraged, those people to develop those and keep those jobs right here.
You mentioned, given the dwindling fossil reserves, I don't know where the science comes from to prove that, because we have the Bakken deposits out in the Midwest, which people tell us is greater than all of the oil in Saudi Arabia. We also have tremendous reserves of coal in this country, which we can use. But let me say that I have signed on to and voted for the Republican alternative to the cap and tax bill. I believe, like all Republicans in the Congress believe, is in all of the above. That is what we believe. We want conservation, we want alternatives, wind, solar, all of those things. But right now, all we could absorb in our electric grid is 10% of wind and solar, because they are not dependable. They come and go. But I believe in all of those things. I think the good Lord is in charge of this earth, and He has given us in this country the resources that we need, and we should be using them. We should use all the resources. I have been to Anwar. It is not the beautiful little meadow that is portrayed in pictures. It is a frozen desert. We have lots of resources available in this country. But again, I believe in doing all of these things. Conserve, use every alternative that we possibly can, but use all the resources that the good Lord has given us to use. And with that, we shouldn't have any problem. We have the ingenuity in this country to do it, and we can continue to do that.
My dad was a minister, but I think the good Lord gave us brains and the ability to be part of this society. We have a responsibility not to use up all the resources that belong to everybody in this world. This denial of science about unending supply of oil, I just don't get it. 500,000 cases of asthma every year from the coal-fired plants, that's unacceptable to me. That's a cost we're all paying here right now, and there's no excuse for it. We need to move out of that. That improves people's lives. We need to look at that oil is finite. It costs more and more to get out of the ground. And if you didn't see the oil gushing out of the Gulf of Mexico this summer, I don't know what you've missed. So I just say the infrastructure is important. We need to developing these alternatives and make sure that we leave this world better than we found it.
Mrs. Fox, you touched on this briefly with the moratorium on deep water drilling now lifted. What do you think of drilling for oil off the coast of North Carolina? And if you care to elaborate on domestic oil production in general or any limitations?
Nobody was happy about the spill in the Gulf. But the reason that occurred is because there were people that President Obama had just appointed to the job.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, please allow the candidates to answer or we will not get through the questions before our time is up.
Who were not competent to do what they did, and they approved the plan for that drilling. It needs to be made very clear who approved the plan for that drilling. As I said before, I think that the good Lord gave us lots of resources in this country, and we should use what's available to them. I do think that we need safeguards. Nobody, again, wants to spill, but the oil disappeared very quickly. What we need to do is develop the technologies to use the resources we have very effectively. We have lots of technologies that are out there to burn coal cleanly, and yet we're not being able to use those. And I think that's the route we should go. Take the resources that we have and use them. We're spending $700 billion a year. We're giving it to people in the Middle East who are using a lot of that money to fight us. We don't need to be doing that. This country should be energy independent, and we can be.
Energy independent. We can do it. We need to make it a priority. The regulations that those offshore oil rigs had were not the same as in Canada, where they had to drill a second hole before they tapped into the first. My opponent stood against regulation consistently, and I think this is a chance where you use the word safeguard, regulation. To me, it's our responsibility to be stewards of our world that we were given, and we need to make sure and leave it better than we found it. And if you hadn't been out in the sun or the wind recently, then you understand that there's sun that's there every day. Surrey Community College is going to put some solar panels in part of a learning process over its parking lot, and cars will actually be able to park under it. ASU's got the largest windmill in the country, in the state. And these are alternatives that we're looking at that will help us in the meantime. We can't pass up on any of these, and our lives and our health depends on it. And I want to leave this world better, and I want to make sure that government is helpful in developing those instead of hindering them.
All right, our final question this evening is going to go on to jobs, something that is very, I think we probably receive more questions about jobs in this district preparing for this than any other. So our first question is going, or the final question, I believe, I've lost track, is Mr. Kennedy. Would you support would you support and legislate a permanent end to all forms of subsidizing, offshoring, or outsourcing of American manufacturing?
I'd like to be part of that law, but yes, we have lost too many jobs to overseas. We need to be exporting American products, not American jobs. There have been tax incentives given to corporations to send those jobs overseas, and then we've allowed them to bring those, Washington has allowed those to bring their profits back at a reduced rate. That, to me, has given them incentive to send those jobs overseas. Businesses can't succeed without a middle class and working class in this country. That's the backbone of this country. That's the American dream. We need to businesses need to understand that they can make more money if they have working people making living wages right here in the United States. So I would support, in theory, bills that would keep those companies from profiting from sending those jobs overseas. I think it was a very short-term mentality that got companies into this, and then there were a lot of Washington insiders. Once again, the corporate money got into writing our laws, and those corporations have been turned loose this election cycle with big money flooding into the government at with 70% of it oftentimes not even reported. So we need transparency in where that money's coming from. We need to see who's profiting from those laws, and we need to make sure that people are more important than corporations. And the 5th District is 18th, I believe, in job loss since my opponent since 2001, and my opponent has not brought jobs here. The unemployment rate has doubled from 5.6 to 11% during her tenure, and I believe that's a shameful record, and I think we need to do better than that. I understand I'm a working man, and we need people to work. They want to work, and we need to give them jobs.
Well, I take a very broad view on the issue of creating jobs. The United States has the second highest corporate tax in the developed world. If we want to keep jobs, have jobs created, and bring jobs back to this country, what we need to do is lower the corporate tax rate. because that will bring job, that will create jobs. The Democratic-led Congress adjourned without passing a bill to stop the largest tax increase that will ever hit this country, that will occur on January 1 if nothing is done. The average person, the average family in the 5th District makes $55,000 a year. Their taxes will go up almost $1,400 if nothing is done to stop that tax increase. I want to have people treated fairly. I don't want the government to choose winners and losers. And that's what the Democrats in the Congress and what this administration want to do. We should have a level playing field. Let's make the rules the same for everybody. You pay the same rates no matter who you are and what you are. And that's the way we should do it. There are disincentives right now in this country for creating jobs. I've been a small business person. I know what it means to lie awake at night and worry about whether you're going to get enough money to make this week's payroll. I talk to people all the time about that. They're not signing on to all of these Democrat programs that are being passed, so-called designed to create jobs, because they don't do it. Just lower taxes for everybody, and we'll have all the jobs we're going to need in this country.
Thank you, Mr. Kennedy.
People under 50,000 under, their tax rate has been going down for years. I understand that if I was taking money from corporate lobbyists, I would be looking to try to reduce their tax rate any further. My opponent, the incumbent congresswoman, has taken that corporate money, and she is beholden to those people because of the money she's taken from them. When they hand you that $5,000 check, they expect $50,000 or $100,000 in return. That's the problem with our democracy. We need to make sure that people are more important than corporations and look out for your well-being, not the corporations.
I have two comments. One, I believe what Ronald Reagan said, when people give you money, they sign on to your agenda. You don't sign on to their agenda. I am beholden to no one except to God. And I learned a long time ago that people will accuse you of doing what they themselves either do or would do.
I have lived a good life. I'm very proud to be American. I'm very lucky to have a great life with family and kids, and I hope to leave them something when I'm done. But this is about you, about the people, not the corporations, and not idle talk. This is about where the money goes. We need to make sure it's disclosed. We need to realize that people, no matter what they say, their record speaks for itself.
I think our panel moderator, Mr. Fitzwater, indicated that that was going to be our last question. I know our candidates have been on their feet for a long time. I was going to just ask them to sit down for a quick second.
And it was just our last topic of question. There are two more questions under
this more?
Topic.
Very fine. Please, let's go ahead then.
Mrs. Fox, given that agriculture is very important to the North Carolina economy, what's your position on government subsidies, regulation of agriculture, food security, and farms in general?
I am opposed to federal subsidies. I do think we have to have a measure of food security, and we need ways for people to guarantee that the food Americans are buying is safe. I think that in so many cases, the government, though, goes overboard in the way that it does those things. Let's see, Scott, you said subsidies, food safety, or food security. What was the other one?
Farms in general or
farms
regulation.
Well, my husband and I both grew up farming, if you call it. We were small farmers. We still farm. We had fresh green beans and fresh potatoes out of our garden yesterday, and it was wonderful. I love growing my own food, and I think most people who do have gardens and farm, people farm because they love it. It's the toughest business in the world to be in, and we know it. But again, I think that Americans will always find a way to do things better than everybody else does them, as long as we maintain our freedom and there are incentives to do so. So I think that what we do in agriculture is what we do in everywhere else. We have the regulations we need to ensure the health and safety of our citizens, but we don't go overboard and we don't do things just to create jobs for bureaucrats. We need to simply do things at the minimal level. But I love farming, and so does my husband, and I wish we could do more of it.
Mr. Kennedy.
I've been a small farmer for the last 10 years. I built houses and make furniture as well. But farming is near and dear to my heart. I've grown up in, I've been spent the last 30 years in Bethel, the most rural part of Watauga County. And I listen to what farmers say all the time. And I've seen in the 30 years the family farms where those children for generations have passed on, they've taken over their family farm and been able to grow that and support their next family and understand and benefit from the values you get from creating, taking care of your land and reaping the benefits as well. Not to mention that makes all our food so much safer and improves our health too. So I'm worried about large agribusiness taking over family farms. That's been a shift that's been going on for a while, and those large companies have an incentive, and they're paying those, putting those dollars into Washington to write the laws to their advantage. This is not fair to the small farmers, and I want to make sure that they're protected as well. The 5th District is 54% rural, but the average age of the farmer in this district is 56 years old. And what the those farmers have told me, they don't know how. They want to pass it on to their children, but they can't figure out a way for those children to make a living until they're 60 or so. So we need to just protect family farms, make sure our farming is clean, and make sure the government has a role to support those farms rather than large agribusiness.
Stop. All right. Now your final question tonight will come from Mr. Adams.
And this goes to Mr. Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy.
Yes.
Just a general question, moving away from jobs. The President of the United States can only hold office for 8 years. Do you think the country would benefit from having term limits imposed on Congress, Congress representatives, congressional representatives?
Well, when people encouraged me to run for this office, it was a hard decision, the hardest decision I ever had to make, to put yourself out in the public sphere and to serve others, which I really think representative government should be about. It took 2 months for my wife to agree, and one thing we had to agree to is that I didn't want to spend the rest of my life in Washington. We want to get back home. So I personally would like to be home in six or eight years myself. But I see this as a chance to help and serve others. As far as term limits, I think it might be a good thing, but there's some drawbacks to it too. So that's a tough question. You see some effects of the getting into a place in the government and realizing how important you are there. But we need to make sure that people don't make a career out of being politicians. I think the founding fathers wanted people to be working people that went and served for a while and then went back to their life before that. And I think we would all be better for that if we were not having career politicians in Washington. As far as what a term limit would actually be time-wise, I'm not sure whether 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, but I wish people would go back to their previous occupations while after they serve in the government.
I agree with Mr. Kennedy again that I think our founding fathers thought that people should have a life first, serve in public office for a while, and then go back home. And I think that's an appropriate thing to do. We have too many people, I think, who particularly go to Congress at young ages and stay for a long, long time. There's one person who's been there over 50 years. Several have been there over 40 years. I don't believe in term limits, though. The two states that are in the most difficult straits in our country right now are California and Florida, and they have term limits for their legislature. The reason I don't believe in term limits is because it takes a vote away from the people. It takes power from the people. The people aren't allowed to make that decision. The other thing has to do with the way districts are drawn. If we had fair districts, there would be competition for the seats. I believe in having fairly drawn, not gerrymandered districts. And I would like to see that happen in the state of North Carolina. As it is now, the Democrats have always drawn the districts. They make some districts as strongly Democrat as possible and some districts as strongly Republican, pushing them in so that they can maintain the majority. What we need are fair districts, and I think if we had fair districts, you'd see less clamor for term limits.
I'm all for fair districts. I'd like to see this district drawn a little bit more fairly in the future, too. Every 2 years, we have a chance to change your representative in Congress. This is your chance to change your representative in Congress. We need working people who understand what real life is about, not career politicians. I will be that person. Send me to Washington, and I'll work for you.
The panel would like to thank the candidates for your attention to our questions this evening. We hope that it worked well for you as well. And at this time, I believe we are turning over to the candidates for a final statement from each of you.
And yes, I wanted to make a quick statement, and I'd also like to ask Mr. Kennedy and Ms. Fox to go ahead and be seated. I know you've been on your feet for a long time. We certainly appreciate everyone's spirited enthusiasm, their responses, and taking note to give the candidates each their fair share. What we're going to do now is we're going to give them that last opportunity to make their positions known, and we're going to start with Mr. Kennedy. 5.5 minutes. I've been very hard at work trying to maintain a little timeliness here, but I'm going to be insistent on this last 2.5 minutes. If you could please use this time to give the audience your closing remarks, and then we will put this to rest. Thank you very much, Mr. Kennedy.
This is an important election. The future of our country depends on which direction we go, whether we're going to go towards people's rights or corporate rights. My children are the most important thing in my life, and that's what we need to look out for. We need to think beyond ourselves to the next generation. How are we going to leave this world for them? Are we going to leave them a mountain of debt that we didn't want to address ourselves? Or are we going to leave them a world where their votes don't matter and corporate money buys elections? There's a big choice here between a career incumbent in Washington who is voting consistently against the people's interest. We need to make sure that we solve problems, not deny they exist. We can't stand any more gridlock. A consistent no vote doesn't solve anybody's problems. The bickering in Washington only makes our lives worse, and I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. I've been a builder all my life, and I understand you start with the foundation, and then you build a house, and then you put a roof on it. You got to go in proper way, and you've got to make sure that every step along the way is solid and done right. And when you have outside influences that are affecting our political discourse to this level, it worries me. That's one of the reasons I decided to get into this race, because I was worried. I was worried about the state of our country and how we were going to keep moving forward and what we were going to leave for our children. Those corporate money that's flooding into the election this year, undisclosed, with no tracing, that's just wrong. That leads to a corrupt society, and the United States was built on the rule of law. We can do better. Got to jobs at the end of the discussion. Jobs is what this election is really about. With the 5th District, one of the highest unemployment rates in the area, we need to get jobs back here. We need to take care of people's lives. We need to leave this environment, this country, cleaner than we found it. That's what I know. That's what I believe. And I'm going to do that for you if you'll help me get to Washington. We can say all we want, but look at the way people, how they voted and how their actions affected the people around them. And I know that the people around me have been complimentary and favorable about the way I've treated them all my life. And I hope to do that in Washington and represent you all well. Thank you so much for coming out.
I know this is the most important election in my lifetime. And I know that most of the people in this country understand that because they've become very energized and very attentive to what is going on. I have served in the Congress for 6 years, and having grown up in a house with no electricity and no running water and having no real financial means, it is a great wonder that a person with my background could be elected to the Congress of the United States. That's part of what makes this country so great. I cherish the support that I have been given, the trust that's been placed in me by the people of the 5th District. I know that not everybody in the 5th District is going to agree with me, but I know that the vast majority of the people in the district agree with me. 60% of the people in this country are conservative, 20% are moderate, 20% are liberal. North Carolina is a center-right state. And again, I know that people agree with me because I come home every weekend, I'm out with the people every weekend all over my district, and I'm listening to what they have to say. And I go back and I do the things. I vote the way people want me to vote. And by the way, my voting record is about 60% yes and about 40% no. Although people try to say that I vote no all the time. Jobs are a major issue. And we can solve the problems of jobs. We had 54 straight months of job growth up until January of 2007 when the Democrats took over the Congress. Since then, our economy has been going downhill. I would like to continue to serve the people of this district in the manner in which I have been serving them, and that's what I promise. We live in the greatest country in the world. I want to keep it the greatest country in the world, and I'm doing everything I can to make our little part of the world be that way. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the officers and the members of the New River Chapter of the Military Officers Association of America, I want to express my deep gratitude for you coming out tonight, and participated in this. I think that the electoral process is certainly one of the people. You are the people, and we appreciate all of your energy, all of your interest, and the time that you've spent with us tonight. I want to extend my appreciation to Ron Fitzwater, to Scott Nicholson, to Lonnie Adamson, who have acted as our panel, and I think they've done a great job. I'd like to give them a big round of applause. Finally, it's my pleasure to once again say thank you to each of our congressional candidates, both Virginia Fox and Mr. Billy Kennedy, for coming, for accepting our invite, for coming out tonight. We started down this path about 2 months ago, and it was interesting as we went along. We were kind of challenging ourselves to see exactly where this was going to take us. And obviously, it's taken us in areas that we never thought possible. We've got radio stations. We've got television broadcasts. But we've got you, and you are the ones who are going to make the decision in November. And I hope that tonight has been worthwhile for you to learn more about the issues, to learn more about the stances on behalf of the candidates. And just in closing, thank you once again. I saw a lot of people out there standing at attention and saluting as we were doing the national anthem. The New River chapter of the MOAA, Military Officers Association, would certainly like to see you come and participate with us. Once again, to the candidates, let's give them a big round of applause.